that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got you. Wow, I feel nice.
We're back, and we're back with our U Health expert, and today we've got a big one. Dr. Joyce M. Slingerland, MD, PhD. She's a specialist in hematology, oncology. She's a breast cancer oncologist at the, she's also the director of the Brahman Family Breast Cancer Institute at Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Care Center. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for being here and being part of our community. How long have you been here at UHealth, Doctor?
So I've been at the university since 2002.
Okay.
I was recruited here from the University of Toronto in Canada, where I had practiced as a clinician scientist for a decade. And I was recruited here to build a multidisciplinary research program in breast cancer.
Well, you've got fans. The minute I put your email out, I heard from Charles Bennett Sachs, an old friend of mine, and he told me that you were friends, and I'll bet you got more than just Charles out there.
I hope so.
Now, you moved down here, and you're really a breast cancer researcher, right?
Well, I'm actually a card-carrying breast cancer doctor, so I'm a medical oncologist. That means I treat women who have breast cancers who need either systemic treatment with chemotherapy or with endocrine therapy. But I also am trained as a basic science researcher, so I run a laboratory in which we investigate the underlying molecular causes behind the development and progression of breast cancer.
Wow, so these must be just very, very exciting times for you with all the new things that we're seeing and all the new medicines and all the new approaches to breast cancer. Which ones are you involved with?
Actually, quite a number. So speaking to the research ongoing in my own laboratory, I've had an interest for many years in understanding why, how do anti-estrogen or endocrine therapies for breast cancer work, and what are the causes that give rise to the development eventually of resistance to endocrine therapy when that happens.
So then it sounds to me like there's a lot of things that are involved that impact what you're doing, and there's not just one special thing that you can focus on.
Well, about 60% of breast cancer patients have tumors that express the estrogen receptor. That's a receptor for the female hormone estrogen. And the vast majority of those will be responsive to either medications that stop production of estrogen or medications that block the estrogen receptor. But in the fullness of time, during the course of treatment, molecular pathways get activated that prevent the cancer from responding to that kind of treatment. And we've discovered in my own laboratory a small molecule called P27 that actually plays a role as a brakes molecule, and it helps the cancer cell stop growing when estrogen is removed or when the estrogen receptor is blocked. But we also discovered that there's a sneaky oncogene called SARC that gets activated, and when SARC is activated, it sends out signals to degrade the brakes molecules. So if you've got high SARC, that's like having the green light on continuously, and you can imagine that the traffic would get a little bit confusing. So if you have high SARC, you can't respond to endocrine therapy as well. So we actually discovered that pathway in the lab that got published in a major paper in Cell, which is an important molecular biology journal. And this led us to consider how we might take this through from the lab to the clinic. And ultimately, we've been working through nationally funded grants to build a clinical trial in which we combine an inhibitor of SARC, which is made by AstraZeneca, together with an inhibitor of production of estrogen called anastrozole. And we're now doing a clinical trial where we put those two drugs together and are testing whether they work better together than does anastrozole alone.
Wow, so this is an exciting time then, because it seems to me that women who have breast cancer, either currently, I guess this probably, is this available and working for ladies today?
So right now we're at the point where We've tested the two drugs together and found that they were safe. They didn't cause too many side effects, and they didn't appear to interfere with the action of the drug that was tried and true. And we're now doing a clinical trial for women with newly diagnosed breast cancers that are bigger than 2 centimeters. The women have to be after menopause because one of the medications works best after menopause. And this trial is comparing anastrozole alone, which is an aromatase inhibitor that blocks production of estrogen, and it's the standard therapy. And we're comparing that drug alone versus that drug with a SARC inhibitor. And that trial is ongoing right now. We've had 40 patients enroll in the study at Sylvester and at Jackson. And we're doing the study in both places. The same doctors take care of the same patients, or sorry, the same doctors take care of patients in both locations here at UM. And we're optimistic that we're going to be able to finish that trial within the next 3 to 6 months.
Now, if somebody wanted to be a part of that trial, is it something that they could participate in?
Absolutely.
How would they get information to join your trial, doctor?
The person to contact would probably be Jenny Obando, who handles our triage of new patients at UM. And let me just pull up her contact information. So Jennifer, O-B-A-N-D-O, and her phone number is 305-243-6645.
Okay. Can you give it to us again while the people might have been getting their pencils ready and stuff?
Sure.
Okay.
Jenny Obando is the triage nurse at Sylvester. Her number is 305-243-6645, but I'm sure she'd be able to handle most of the calls and direct them to me as needed.
That's great. Now, I had a couple of other questions that I wanted to ask, because you talked about you're identifying these drugs and therapies, the folks that have breast cancer, get the therapies. Let's say that the therapy is successful. They've come through breast cancer. You say that I know you're involved with a whole variety of different ways to approach the treatment of breast cancer. Somebody's now gone through the breast cancer situation. They've come through. They've got a pretty good, solid, clean bill of health. But their immunity system or the rest of their body isn't the same as it was before the treatment started. What can you do for a woman who's through the breast cancer treatment but may have some physical and psychological issues to overcome from that process?
I think one of the most important things for all women with breast cancer, regardless their age, once they've gone through their potentially curative therapy, having had their breast cancer removed, gone through their chemotherapy, or being on endocrine therapy, is diet and exercise. I hate to say it, but I think that keeping a normal body weight is probably as important as curative chemotherapy. It may have as powerful an impact on patient outcome. So one of the things that is becoming abundantly clear is that there's an increasing risk of developing breast cancer and of having a bad outcome from breast cancer with increasing body weight and obesity. And that's particularly so for postmenopausal breast cancer or breast cancer after menopause. So very important. I do an exercise history and I go over weight with all of my patients when I see them in the clinic. It's very, very important that women pay attention to taking care of themselves, looking to ways of weight reduction to try to get back to a normal body weight, and to incorporating exercise in their daily, if not weekly, routine.
Dr. Slingerlander, you're coming up with some great tips for the people here. We've only got about a minute left. We've already given how to find your triage nurse. If you want to speak to the population out there that may be considering that maybe they have breast cancer, what would you advise them to do? What's your message to take away for everybody today?
Stay fit. Keep your weight down. Have your mammogram screening between the ages of 45 to 55.
Now, that's a change, right? From even a couple of weeks ago, right?
Not
didn't that
really
change?
A change. I think the American College of Radiology and the Society of Breast Cancer Imaging hasn't changed.
Right.
And
Sorry, I watch too much TV.
they haven't. So the American, the ACS has, the American Cancer Society came out with new guidelines, but those have not yet led to a uniform change in policy. So the American, what we had before was American College of Radiology and Society of Breast Imaging still endorse annual screening beginning at the age of 40. It's important to remember that breast cancer between the ages of 40 and 50 accounts only for about 12% of all breast cancers developing, but it has a much higher death rate from breast cancer. So the death rate is between 16 to 18% of all deaths from breast cancer. So the individuals who are diagnosed with breast cancer between the ages of 40 and 50 may have a more aggressive form of the disease and represent many more years of life lost than later in life.
Well,
and so the bottom line summary is between the ages of 45 and 55, annual screening strongly recommended. The ACS guidelines are suggesting that it may not be necessary to have annual screening after 55 and that every second year might be okay, but we're still not certain of that. And for the individuals between the age of 40 and 45, it's important to think about the options for starting annual mammograms at that time. We certainly would regret to see insurance carriers making decisions for women, because that's a discussion that needs to take place between the woman and her doctor. And currently, the major recommendation is annual screening.
Doc, I want to thank you so much, Dr. Joyce Slingerland, for coming on our show and educating our listeners about the breakthroughs that you're doing every day at Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center. Thank you so much for being on, and good luck to you and the rest of the folks at Sylvester.